Yes, I had this message about marriage laid on my heart, or the subject of marriage laid on my heart. And when I shared it with Pastor Kerry, he said, "You've just got to preach on it. And will you bring it to the church?" And I said, "Yes, I would be delighted." And so here we are. Now, I want to get back to where we were at the end of the worship. So would you just stand with me for a brief moment, please? Let's just be so aware of not each other now so much as being aware of the presence of God. Those songs were just so blessed and such a blessing to me and in preparation for the message this morning and for the communion and so on. It's all just been one beautiful, beautiful time in the presence of God. And I'm not going to ask you if you feel the presence of God. I know you feel the presence of God. Because if you haven't felt the presence of God this morning, you are in desperate need of a touch from God. It's so beautiful here in His presence. The Word of God says, one of the Psalms, "Be still and know that I am God." So I want to encourage you, put everything out of your mind right now. Put everything aside and just keep your eyes on Him. He is here. We sang, God is here. Praise the Lord. He is here. His presence is so special and so precious. Hallelujah. Be still and know. Allow Him to come into your thought patterns, into your thought process, into your heart, into every part of your being, and just prepare you for His word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence, Father God. Lord Jesus, you stand amongst us in resurrection power and life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you that your word is a living word, and it's a powerful word. And it separates between soul and spirit. And we thus thank you this morning because your word is going to be a living word to us each one. We give you the praise and the glory, and we thank you, Lord, for this time with you as well as with each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I'm aware that in this congregation this morning, there will be many folks who have had varying experiences down through the years. And some of you may have come to this service this morning with some reservations, with some fear perhaps, with some caution. And there may be those who have stayed away because of their experiences, and it would be too painful, they feel, to sit through a message about marriage. I want to encourage you, each and every one this morning, and if you know of somebody that has stayed away for that reason, that you encourage them. We must be encouraged by the Word of God. The Word of God is a comfort to us. God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in a time of trouble. And so We can only be comforted, we can only receive his strength if we come and sit under his word and if we fellowship with his church. And so I just want you to know that I purposely asked that we could sing that song, Calvary Covers It All, this morning. Because whatever our experience has been, and I'll be emphasizing this during the message, whatever your experience has been and my experience has been, I want to remind you that there's a covering for it. It doesn't have to stay that way. It doesn't have to affect you anymore. It doesn't have to touch your life any longer, because Calvary covers it all. Hallelujah. Pastor Kerry was very open with his testimony just a few weeks ago. And he told us he's been out there. He's experienced all the stuff that the world has to offer and that the devil has to try and grab us with and get us under his control and bind us with. He's experienced all of that. And he's also experienced that Calvary covers it all. And the part of his testimony that I just thrilled to was the fact that he finally said that when he became a Christian and when he began to let Jesus become the Lord of his life, it just resolved their marriage issues. And I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind right now but what they are a very, very happy couple. And they are modeling before us what marriage is all about and family is all about. So may the Lord just help us. I was inspired by a song this morning that I've known for many, many years. And it's so appropriate for this morning and for the communion service and for the fact that Calvary covers it all. And it's the old song by Bill Gaither, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. Because He Lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future and life is worth the living." She still has to prompt me, see? Life is worth the living just because He lives. So keep that thought uppermost in your minds this morning. I'm going to be just laying a foundation this morning because time is restricted by reason of the communion and so on, and I want to pay respects to that. And so I want to lay a real foundation this morning for this message, and we'll be carrying on with it again next Sunday. Our Heavenly Father God wanted to express His Father's heart. Can we have a little bit more light, please? I'm not seeing my notes too well. Thank you. You humour an old man. He wanted to express His Father heart, and so He decided to create a man and a woman who would learn to know and discover each other. I'm reading this slowly and deliberately so that you'll really hear it, folks. He decided to create a man and a woman, thank you, Alan, who would learn to know and discover each other and to adapt to a certain lifestyle that was planned for them, to be united together as one flesh, and to have the honor and privilege of being the first man and the first woman to be married with God's blessing. And that's why I have called this sermon Marriage, the Blessing of God. And then I was thinking about it and I thought, well, there's another title I'd like to give this message. And it's Marriage from God's Point of View. We all look at marriage from our point of view. But I believe it's important for us to look at marriage from God's point of view, because He was the one that invented it. And then I thought, well, there's another subtitle that I'd like to have. And it's this: marriage is the greatest institution in the world. And God intended for it to be the greatest institution in the world, and He intends for it still to be the greatest institution in the world. Then, at the appointed time, this couple would become parents of children, boys and girls, and know the joy of parenthood and the responsibilities that go with that. Father God wanted to lead them through the whole process of discovery of what He had created them for their benefit, also for His benefit. They would learn to live together as a family with each other, and most importantly, in fellowship with their Heavenly Father, God. And they would benefit greatly from His Father's heart to bless them. In other words, He wanted them to know the deepest, most meaningful, sacred experience that human beings can ever have. And it would be couched in marriage. God had in His heart to bless us as married people. Now, sadly, we know Adam and Eve messed up the unfolding plan that God had for them, and we can only speculate on what the outcome might have been for them, for their entire future and the future of their children, if they had obeyed the clear instructions given them by their Creator God. And if they had waited to follow the unfolding timeline of their relationship. The lesson I believe we learn from this is that God still wants to lead His people through this experience if we will let Him. He wants us to understand that it is a sacred experience, and it's one that the world has so denigrated and lowered the standards. The original plan, too, is something that I feel very keenly about. We often refer to the original sinless state of mankind at creation and how the disobedience of our first parents brought about their fall from grace, which resulted in sin, sickness and death being passed on through every generation. The whole plan of salvation is God's provision for us to be restored, not just from sin, but to be restored, I believe, to that original sinless state and design, so that He can have fellowship and communion with us. And that includes all the elements of Adam and Eve's relationship as a married couple, spirit, soul, and body, and their future as a family. Are you hearing me this morning? Nobody's going to sleep yet. That's good. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, He says, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know none of us are blameless, none of us, but that's the reason Calvary covers it all, because He calls us to holy living. He calls us to be perfect as He is perfect. It's all in the Word of God. And we need to understand that He will give us the grace and the means and the power to become what He wants us to become. I spoke to one of our members a few weeks ago and shared that I was going to be speaking on marriage and a favorite verse that I have, and I'm going to be bringing that up shortly. How we were bought at a price, so therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And this dear, precious soul, when I came back to her, said, I can't remember what I said. So I've got to try and give the sense of it as I think I heard it. But it's a quote worth quoting. She said, when God created Adam and Eve, he did so because he wanted to display his glory to the world through marriage and family. Now, that's worth repeating. When God created Adam and Eve, he did so because he wanted to display his glory to the world through marriage and family. God had no other plans, folks, in mind. Not at all. He didn't have any plans for same-sex marriage and relationships. He had nothing in mind except this perfect, wonderful union called marriage. So that's why I included this subtitle 2 to this marriage. Message, the greatest institution in the world was to be, from God's point of view, forever. The reason there was so much potential for them to know the most exciting and blessed life possible was because marriage was God's idea and because they were made in his image. And we've heard these scriptures many times, but let's hear them again. In Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 31, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. Then God blessed them. The blessing of God was upon them then, and the blessing of God is upon us now, if we live the way God wants us to live, particularly in relationship. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. He saw everything that he had made, and he decided it was very good. So there was nothing lacking. There was nothing else needed to make us happy, to make us complete, to make us what God wanted us to be. It's all there. Now, I won't go into statistics this morning. The statistics are so depressing about marriage and so on. But we'll just continue on. I want to speak to our young people and all who are contemplating marriage. Sometimes the not so young are contemplating marriage. Please, please, please hear my heart. And I can assure you, I believe this is God's heart. From God's point of view, he wants you to keep yourself pure for the time when you are finally married. Totally disregard the world's advice and the world's ways. Try before you buy and all that sort of stuff. It is not God's way. I've conducted many weddings over the years of my ministry of young people who have kept themselves pure for the day that they became married, both men and women, both boys and girls. And it's just beautiful. Just beautiful. I think of one young couple, happened to be my grandson in Canberra, and he opened up to me quite some time before the actual marriage, after he'd asked me to marry them and so on. And we had some wonderful heart-to-hearts, and I talked about some of these principles and so on. And he was determined, and his girlfriend was determined. She had come out of a non-Christian family. He was born into a Christian family, of course. And but she was wanting to just go that way as well. She kept herself pure. He kept himself pure. And I want you to know that we were in the gardens of Old Parliament House, the Rose Gardens of Old Parliament House, when we conducted that wedding. There was a natural wind there, but I tell you what, there was a wind of the Holy Spirit there too. The presence of God was just amazing. Amazing, amazing. You don't have to be inside a building to experience the manifest presence of God. And we experienced the manifest presence of God in that place. That wedding was amazing. But then I've also conducted weddings of young people who have been out there, like so many have, and have come to know the Lord, and they've come into the church family, into the house of God, and from that point, they have decided that they are going to keep themselves pure for the day. And you know, the Word of God says that if any man is a new creature, old things in Christ, old things are passed away. I better quote the verse properly. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And if that's the case for the born-again experience, then it follows that it would be the case for us when we transgress. When we have been involved in other stuff, or when we fail, he picks us up again and he restores us. It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Some may say to me, but where does that leave me? I'm just a new Christian. I've been out there and so engulfed in the world's ways, and my life has been a mess. What hope do I have? The answer is very clear, and we've been saying it over and over. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to redeem us. Your life is redeemable in every respect. Your life, our lives, are redeemable in every respect. Praise God. Please remember that. Jewish parents, using the principles and tradition of their culture, which was soundly based on God's word, was to preserve virginity before marriage. And failure to do that was a huge disgrace to the families concerned. Huge disgrace. And without being too explicit, the young couple needed to show proof of their virginity after they were married. And then the parents understood and knew that they had kept themselves for that time. Now, our situation, of course, today we find ourselves in a very different situation. We have family that they're partners and they're having children. Some of them, not all of them, praise God, but some of them are. And we pray for them constantly that they will come into a knowledge of Christ and do it God's way. And God will restore them and restore to them what has been taken from them. Scriptures for sex before marriage. It's called fornication in the old King James and in the new King James as well. I think it refers to sexual immorality in the NIV and other translations. But here I want to read just two scriptures to you, one from Ephesians and one from Hebrews. Ephesians 5, 3 and 5. But fornication and all uncleanness, Let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Verse 5. For this you know, that no fornicator, no unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. That's the scripture, folks. So sleeping around and partners living together as married couples and friends with benefits and all of that sort of stuff, it's the sin of fornication. And it's not often preached these days from pulpits. But another wonderful scripture is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, and it says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Why is he so severe? Why does it seem like this is just intolerable to most people's ears? Because it's God's word. And if we don't live according to God's plan and God's way, then he will judge it. And he's got every right to judge it because he's our creator and he's our redeemer. And that's it. Marriage is honorable among all. So everyone who's married here this morning, you've done an honorable thing according to the word of God. So pat yourself on the back. The Amplified reads like this. Let marriage be held in honor, esteemed worthy, precious, of great price, and especially dear in all things. That's a mouthful, isn't it? But that's how meaningful that word honorable is. Marriage is honorable. Let marriage be held in honor. It means esteemed, worthy, precious, of great price, and especially dear in all things. And thus let the marriage bed be undefiled, kept undishonored. For God will judge and punish the unchaste, all guilty of sexual vice and adulterous. The Apostle Paul speaks about our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit, and therefore they belong to Christ. Immoral conduct, therefore, demeans the price that has been paid to redeem us and diminishes the glory believers are to bring to him who loved so purely and so powerfully. The Message says it like this. Yes, I'm sorry. There is a sense in which sexual sins are different from all others. In sexual sin, we violate the sacredness of our own bodies. These bodies that were made for God-given and God-modeled love and becoming one with another. Or didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place? The place of the Holy Spirit. Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. Got to read that again. The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole works. I love that. God owns the whole works. So let people see God in and through your body. I wonder if we have really thought seriously about the fact that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That our bodies are meant to be used for all sacred purposes. And it means that in your marriage and in your relationship and in your intimacy, everything about your marriage is a sacred trust that God has given you. And God wants you to know that nothing is separated from that. It all is part of the whole. It's part of the one flesh. It's part of the one becoming, two becoming one, spirit, soul, and body. Betty and I have been married 59 years in October. That's all right. I wasn't looking for that. I can't believe it sometimes. When it rolls off my tongue, I think, 59 years, that's a long time. And I get angry when I hear fellas say, oh, you only get 25 years for murder. You know, I think, wow, where are they at in the universe? But we have been married 59 years. During the 90s, from 89 through to 2000, Betty and I were itinerating, as most of you know, around Australia and around different countries of the world. We were asked to do many, many marriage and family seminars. And we enjoyed doing that. We did them around Australia, we did them in Finland, we did them in Singapore, Denmark, Scotland, and so on. And at the end, we would lead the, I would lead the men, the husbands rather, not the men, I would lead the husbands through the reaffirmation of their vows, and Betty would lead the women through the reaffirmation of their vows. And of course, we're standing facing one another, as we like to do. And stand up, please. Please stand up, darling. Well, come on, come on. Wives, submit to your husbands, please. But when we do that, we hold hands, we get the people to hold hands, and we... And we repeat those vows. And every time we have done that, and we have done, we estimate over 70 marriage and family seminars. And during those 10 minutes, we repeated, reaffirmed our vows, and every time it really meant something. Every time, if I did it, tried to do it now, I'd still have tears in my eyes. Why? Because we have been doing it God's way. We are still madly in love. We still love our hugs and cuddles and kisses. I taught her how to kiss, by the way. And she hasn't forgotten, by the way. Hallelujah. It's a sacred, wonderful, beautiful experience. And why I'm telling you all this is because when we were first married and during the time of our family, we had five, God blessed us with five children, three boys and two girls. And one of our boys married a young lady in this church. When we first came to Forest Field, they were in this church, and I'm speaking of Pam Treloar over here. She doesn't look that old, does she? But she's been here a long time. And we are just so blessed with our family. And so when we went through that family time, I thought, yeah, when the family grow up, we'll enjoy this and everything. But when they all get married and you know, it'll all be over for us. I just had a very limited understanding of what marriage was all about and relationship was all about. And I thought, oh, well, you know, there'll be a time when you just become like a Darby and Joan and you just live together and you just abide and you put up with each other and you get old gracefully if you can. Well, that was a fallacy, because as we have gone through every stage to the time when our last child was married and left the house, which was our daughter, our oldest daughter, And I came in one night from that reception, and I didn't have to leave the front light on anymore for her to come in. And it dawned on me that we were back to the place where we started, just Betty and I. And I got excited. I thought, wow, this is another season. And that's how I explain it to everybody. We have gone through seasons, and now we are in the most exciting season of our lives. Some of you look as though you don't believe me. Well, I can't do any more to convince you than tell you. But it is. We thank God often when we're praying together. We thank God for this season of our lives. We are just so deeply in love. Some would say madly in love. Well, yeah, okay, we're madly in love if you want to. We just can't bear to be out of each other's company. We just always love to be together, do everything together. And I can't tell you any more, but it's so wonderful, so good. So praise God. Now, I've already mentioned this before, but for anyone who may be feeling concerned about their history, let me make it clear again that the Scripture declares that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So too, every indiscretion of our lives is redeemable. Listen, every indiscretion of our lives is redeemable. We have no need to be wallowing in self-pity, no need to be struggling with guilt and depression and all of those things that are the result. God wants us to be free. He wants us to be redeemed. He wants us to be restored so that we may you'll be restored in such a way that you will feel like you have never missed out on anything. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33, we have the context of this book, of this passage about marriage. We're going to put that up on the screen in just a moment. But chapter 4, the previous chapter to chapter 5, of course, talks about walking in unity under the ministry and leadership of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, which will equip us all for ministry and so that the body of Christ may be edified. And then chapter 5 starts off with a thereafter. And you'll see chapter 5, please, Ephesians chapter 5, the first verse, it says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children." And if the word therefore is there, you've got to see what precedes that word. And I want to read the previous two verses, verses 30 to 32 of chapter 4. And it's talking about our Christian life, and this is God wants us to conduct our Christian life in through every circumstance of life, but particularly in our marriage. So here we go. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children." And the first section, verses 1 to 7, talks about walking in love. And time has gone, so I'm not going to read that, but I'm just going to touch on it. Perhaps I'll have to touch on it. "Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, and so on. I've read that before. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, and so on. So walking in love, that's what we're encouraged to do. The next section from verses 8 through to 14 talks about walking in the light. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Then the third section, which is just precedes our text passage, talks about walking in wisdom. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And then it goes from verse 18. I want to read this because this is the beginning. This introduces us to the subject of marriage with what we're dealing with today. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or debauchery, some translations say, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. This is church, folks. And that's what we've been doing this morning. We've been doing that, singing with melody in your heart to the Lord. We've been giving thanks to the Lord for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder if we've been submitting to one another in the fear of God. But that's what the scripture says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. The Amplified puts it this way, be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now, while our pastor's away and I've been asked to speak and Pastor Craig is in charge of the service, he's smiling now, but I want to say seriously, I'm subject to him. If he came up onto this platform and said, Pastor Fred, I think it's time we close the service, I would close the service. He's getting ready to do it.
Pastor Fred, I think. No. So,
but I'm required by God's word to submit to him because he is the authority in this place right now. I'm not the authority. I used to be, but I'm not now. I'm nothing. Praise God. I don't have a church to worry about anymore. So be subject to one another. But listen, there's a reason for that. Out of respect and reverence for Christ. And when you find that verse just before the passage on marriage, it's a very sobering thought. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. I guarantee that's a serious challenge. This is a very clear and specific teaching. I believe it shows us how God expects us to behave and to conduct ourselves in his church, which is his family, as well as in our marriage and family. Now, next week I'm going to be going right into chapter 5 from verses 22 to 33 about wives and their relationship with their husbands and the husband and his relationship with Christ. But it's all based on the aligning up of the marriage with Christ and the church and husbands and wives to bring glory to him. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we're just so grateful for your word this morning. We're just so grateful that at this time and in this season, in the situation of our nation and the world and the attitudes out there and the minority groups that are pushing for recognition of same-sex marriage and all sorts of other things. And Lord, we just know that there's so much going on out there, but we are praying this morning that as a church, we will just be so committed to coming back to your word. coming back to the living Word of God and to the principles of your Word. Lord, we've been getting back to the fundamentals of your truth and of your Word concerning marriage. And we thank you, Lord, that we can depend upon you and we can depend upon your Word. And so as we come together to pray and to just open our hearts to you, Lord, this morning as we again sing this song, we just pray that, Lord, whatever's been our experience this morning, as I've explained to these precious people, whatever has been their experience this morning, Calvary covers it all. We don't have to live with it anymore. We don't have to be burdened by it anymore. It doesn't have to be a chain around us that binds us anymore, because your precious blood was shed upon the cross of Calvary and it breaks every chain. And we so often sing that you break every chain. So if there are any chains that need to be broken this morning, Lord, we pray that you will break them right now. Hallelujah. So search our hearts. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Speak to us, we pray. Stand up, church, will you? Just stand in his presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to sing that chorus in a moment. Calvary covers it all. Oh, I just opened the altar this morning. I don't need to say any more. Just open the altar. If you feel the need, and I would encourage you, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, please come forward and let's pray for you. Let's just get on the journey with you to see you restored, if that's normal, if that's necessary. To see you free this morning. To see you set free. There are several people in this congregation right now, and I know the Holy Spirit is showing me that you are gripped by fear, a spirit of fear. I know that can be often the case, that people perhaps are gripped by fear more than anything else. But this morning, there are at least 5 or 6 people, maybe 7, who are gripped by fear. And I want you to know that this morning you can be set free. If you will come and let us pray with you and just believe that Calvary covers it. The answer is here, folks. Calvary covers it. It can happen in your seat if you just commune with the Lord. But we can also help you if you feel to come forward. Let's sing it together.